Good. With a mistrial and, you know, jury question, you know, it's still not over. And they got, well, we got to get him guilty on this little thing here or something. That a lot of the government conspiracy stuff, they're like, eh, not so much. So it's still not over. And I remember yesterday the judge was sending them back into the jury room. You must come back with a verdict, you know, I mean, you know, something. So this is going on. But what was the top stories? One by Vince Aprinowitz and one by L. Neal Smith. You know?
Very good. So, excellent. Vin, Vin does great work, and he's also a great fellow. So.
Yeah, no, these guys, I'm going, yeah, what are they? Oh, good. Well, what did L. Neal have to say? L. Neal's going, Samuel L. Jackass, that was the title of it. And he's like, you know, all these people protesting Trump, they're all wearing the black and the hoodies and the black bandanas and black. And then he goes, when they all look like ISIS.
Sure, sure.
You know, what the hell is going on here? So I'm trying to get an idea of what they're building. And there, it seems like, and Soros. I mean, we have stories of how many different organizations and how many, you know, tens if not hundreds of millions of dollars around the world that he's putting in to get these kind of create some consternation going on in the public and have some colored shirt revolution of we're not going to take it anymore or something. And it's just not, doesn't seem like it's taking here in America. They're just not getting enough people going, look, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, and you guys are just instigating whatever. I mean, do you see that there's some weight behind these protests against Trump? Is it just Soros money? Is it, you know, a rising up of the proletariat, the precariat, you know, all pissed off? I mean,
no,
what's really going on?
Okay, well, my impression is, Soros has some role. I think there's a lot of grassroots sentiment and anger out there. It was interesting going to the Pussy March on the day after the inauguration.
Oh, yeah.
So many of the women there, I think they were there because they felt like Hillary had gotten robbed. And if you contrast that to the Science March in D.C., I guess, last Saturday, I mean, it was a lot more anemic, much, much lower folks turning out. Plus, they really couldn't figure out what the hell they stood for. So it was just kind of sounded like a bunch of whiners and people rattling their tin cup for federal funding. I mean, it's certainly possible that Trump will do enough stupid things like getting into another war or something really outrageous that will generate grassroots, massive, perpetual resistance. But at this point, it seems like a lot of the Trump protesters have become laughing stocks. I mean, it doesn't help that they go out and violently attack people and dress like ISIS and, shutting down some of the colleges as far as free speech. And then you got New York Times op-ed yesterday. Was it what the president of NYU is kind of saying, you know, we got to, free speech is important, but not as important as the snowflakes. So
did he actually say that?
He didn't say that.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, damn, how far is this going?
Yeah, there was a lot of shock that
unique
he wrote
original.
It. What's that?
No, it's like you are unique and original individual students, you know, might as well just
say snowflake. Well, I mean, you know, folks, it was an interesting piece, and there was a lot of good backlash against it from people like Glenn Greenwald and Glenn Harlan Reynolds, folks like that, folks who just kind of say, folks who are amazed that you've got college presidents standing up for censorship. And that's a bellwether. And, there was the hubbub at Middlebury College when Charles Murray went there. There was the hubbub out in Colorado where the president of Phi, Lawrence Reed, went there, I guess, a couple weeks.
Lawrence Reed got protested?
Yes.
No freaking way.
Indeed, yeah. There was a hubbub. I think it was last week. Do a Google on that.
God, I would have paid for that. You know, I go, and Ernie got Milo'd. Yay! I mean,
Milo'd is a verb. That's great. I hadn't heard that before.
You know, I tell you, that one school teacher that, you know, is being real aggressive and she's on, you know, the talking head TV after she did the Berkeley thing. And she is an elementary school teacher and she's actually grabbing, assaulting, pushing, beating, and nobody arrests them. I'm going, what, you know, guys are standing there, you know, Trump supporters are holding a sign. They're looking at a guy, hey, you know, what the hell? You know, if I did this, they'd be over beating the crap out of me, you know? So I'm just, this double standard is coming from I don't see how they, because their argument is we got to nip fascism in the bud. And I'm going as if you represent anything but, you know. So,
well, that's true. And it's fascinating to see some of the left-wing media championing these so-called anti-fi or anti-fascist protesters who are using violence and intimidation and beating up innocent people. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, it, you know, that method didn't work out so well in the 1920s in Germany.
Well, it did for the people that wanted it to do whatever the hell they wanted to do.
That's true. But, I mean, it's fascinating. There are so many media apologists for that type of violent authoritarian behavior.
Yeah, it's this double standard has to not be lost on somebody, you know, and that's what Mr. James Bovard does. He's going, let's show the irony of this. What's something that you know, near and dear that you just released, you're working on, you're proud of, and what's coming?
Well, I've been having some fun, tweaking at some of the news. Let's see, there was a story a couple days ago that the Julian Assange might be prosecuted by the Trump administration for leaking the secrets. The comment I had that Trump deserves a Presidential Medal of Freedom, not an indictment. Trump did a lot more. Julian Assange deserves a Medal of Freedom. And Julian did a lot more to invigorate American democracy than the Washington Post or New York Times.
Yeah, but the intelligence and military, they don't like him. So you better be ready to lynch him, boy. Get with the program. I want to know what that program is. Who's going to help me? James Bovard.
Good luck.
Covering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government, the real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, the revolution between the ears has already happened.
Oh, yeah, Keith wants to... All right, go ahead and ask him a question.
Hey, James, Venezuela to me is an interesting deal. We had... who was that kid that went down to Venezuela?
Luke Radowski.
Yeah, you know who Luke Radowski is?
Yeah, you know. From We Are Change.
Okay. We Are Change, yeah. He went down to Venezuela about last summer, and he came back saying that place... It was the scariest place that he had been, and he'd been all over the world.
He was like... I want to get out of here. He gets out of the airport terminal.
Kisses the ground in Mexico City, but when he returns.
Yeah, I know. That's like, Venezuela must have been really bad. He gets out of the terminal.
In Venezuela,
and there's like dead bodies.
Wow.
You know, because you can't have a gun there, and you have private security of the private, of the militia, of the whatever, and they're just, ooh, look. Looks like a rich American. Come here, boy. I've got to explain it to you. So they're getting off the streets. And then he and Jeff Berwick, they go, yeah, but Tinder works here.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So they went out on dates.
Yeah,
you know, there's people coming in. The women are all skittish and everything. And they don't know if they're being served up or what. You know, it was just not a good idea.
And that was a year or so ago. But now
It
was last summer. But now it's just so upside down. So, James, do you have a thought on Venezuela if you've been following it all?
The stories I see in the news about is all I know.
Yeah.
But it's a fascinating example of how a democracy can go to hell. I mean, this can utterly implode.
But they have natural resources. They have refiners. They had American investment. It's just, to me, it's just so surprising how that can happen.
Well, I mean, the Saudis have natural resources too, and they're couldn't be much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? What happened to the House of Saud, man? Why are they so broke? Are they? You know, they go, we're going to need access to our money, so we're going to start selling treasuries. I mean, what?
You know, there's so much stuff going on behind the curtains, and it's frustrating because there's so much rascality, and we don't find out until years later.
I like that word, rascality.
Yeah, you know, the bottom line I see, though, is that the barrel of the oil has been relatively cheap, so they don't make
solar
the big money. Yeah, solar, yeah, and all
solar,
that.
It's going to say, like, Keith, you know, you're all solar.
I'm soldered on the
you
roof.
You know, your eco kind of flexi car of whatever, you know, and here in Arizona, solar is like, it's getting cheap, man. It's like, you know what, and suck it. So I couldn't happen soon enough for me, and I am so sick of fixing, you know, water pump, fuel pump, oil pump, this pump, that hose, this belt, that guy. Give me an electric motor and just make it go word, damn it, you know? So I see a big change coming. I don't know what, but, you know. Oh, the pirate, PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Go to that right now while we're doing this. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. Nah. Here we go.
Favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
You know what? I just don't think that's loud enough! BOVARD.com. Jim Bovard, he's always been a really good friend of the show and me and Donna, and he's always been a good friend to freedom. And you can see his stuff all over everywhere. You know, he just had a USA Today article we put up just a week or two ago. And so he's got this to say about that. You know, off air, Keith was asking him, you know, see there, Keith, he's taking off. And get your shirt on. The you know,
I'm going to listen to James on Venezuela.
But... Okay, he's going to listen to it on his remote here. Well, James, Venezuela came up. I'm wondering what's going to come of that. They got a lot of resources, and this is what happens when you try to just nationalize everything and you don't know how to run it. This is when India won, or Saudi Arabian Peninsula after World War One, Lawrence of Arabia. We're gonna be independent from the British. And they go, okay, well, here's the phone system. Let us know how it works out. Get your camel jockeys in here and go in there, and they can just do switches and buttons and see how that works, and it's gone. And they go, yeah, it's not so nice anymore. We'll leave. And I'm wondering, in Venezuela, they're going to say, we're in charge now, and then they don't know how to run anything. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it's a mess, and it's a great tragedy for the people there. And it's been great to hear and see the photos of people out protesting, doing everything that they can to push back. The government has become such a tyranny there over the last 10, 15 years. U.S. government has thrown various wrenches in that probably undermine the credibility of the resistance to the regime. It's a good example of how simply because a nation is democratic and has elections doesn't mean that the roof cannot fall in politically. And simply because you're you have elections doesn't mean that the winners won't become tyrants. And this is what we're seeing in Venezuela and a lot of other places. It was really sad to see what happened in Turkey. It's appalling. Turkey had made so much progress and shown a lot of courage. I mean, I was impressed back in early 2003 when the Turkish parliament voted to prohibit the U.S. government, U.S. military, from using Turkey as a base to invade Iraq. That was a symbol of Turkish sovereignty. But what you have now is this vote, this referendum down there in Turkey, and it just makes the current ruler into a dictator. He can serve basically as long as he wants, totally crushing the media, totally crushing the folks who understand that, well, you know, maybe a dictator won't work out so well. And on top of that, you have Trump calling to congratulate the guy. It's like, geez. But this is similar to what Obama did after there was a coup in Egypt. President Obama called to congratulate the guy there who won a sham election. So,
yeah, you know, that's one thing that him meeting, you know, with all the leaders of the world. I'm wondering who that he represents. Does he represent peace and justice and freedom and America and all that? Or is it, you know, some kind of corporate relationship, or is it? You're in charge now, and let's be, you know, guys in charge. I'm wondering what he's advocating for. I'm not getting the impression that he's that the brand America means what, you know, the people were hoping it means. It's like these Eastern blocs get into the European Union and they go, well, that's not a lot better. It's like, what the hell? So I'm wondering what America stands for. What capital do we have?
Are you talking as far as Trump or as far as the world seeing us now?
Well, I mean, it's kind of both now, you think? I mean, as you know, they see kind of this populist uprising around Brexit. We got Le Pen, you know, as kind of the female Trump, you know, in France. We got, you know, whatever's going on here in America, and people are inspired or terrified by what? How are we perceived around the world?
Well, part of my frustration is that I think it was good to see a backlash against Washington, against the political parties, but so far it has not been a backlash in favor of freedom. And the same for a lot of Europe, where the Brexit, things like that have come out. I mean, folks are angry, folks are riled, and then here comes somebody else say, you follow me and everything will be fine. Well, okay.
Oh, we'll be ruled right.
Yeah, so... but as far as how others see us, I think it's foreigners are a lot more skeptical of the U.S. government, but then so too are a lot of Americans. So there are so many different levels of BS and rascality. It's really hard to sort them out sometimes, especially on foreign policy, which tends to be a pack of lies.
Well, I'm Korea. You got an opinion?
Oh. What the hell are you doing there? I mean, this isn't our problem. This isn't our neighborhood. I mean, it's like Trump is just trying to score some PR points. I don't know. You know, there's no reason to go after them at this point. I don't trust that government. I don't like that government. But, this
not
paper rattling.
You know, this is one thing that the South China Sea kind of, you know, and China's got nuclear submarines on assembly line now and hypersonic missiles, and go ahead and bring your aircraft carriers, and they're gone. So I'm going, there's something that we must have some backup of, tungsten rod of God kind of thing or something, you know, and rain down on. I there's something else, because this is, as soon as they're like instigating, they're wanting them to do something, they go, aha, well, we're going to push this button now. So I look at this and I'm just wondering, what's the other shoe? You know, I they already did the Moab, you know, the mother of all bombs kind of thing. I'm going to give the Pentagon commanders of that a little more leeway. Yeah, the CIA can, you know, drone Yemen all they want. And I'm, you know, go. And then, are you familiar with Andrew Bacevich?
Oh, yeah, sure. He's done a lot of great work.
I had him on the show, you know, great recommendation from Scott and like you, everybody, you know, they're very supportive of anybody I talk to. I have him on because, you know, and we didn't talk about it on the show, but his son was killed in Iraq in 07.
Right. Yep.
He was like a major or something. And then he, you know, went to military school and comes out and he wrote against what a stupid thing Iraq was. But he wanted to come on and talk about, how's McMaster or one of these guys, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, okay, well, why you have an opinion? Well, he this. They go, whoa, you're confusing me as someone that gives a crap about this guy until I know why you're for or against him. I mean, what is it you want him to do? What makes a good disposition? You want him to do what? Got to go kick ass South China Sea, America in her interest. And I'm going, what? What is it that you'll sit there and you'll go, this is bad, but over here it's, yeah, that's different. We're going to have to go whip
ass. Really? So.
Listen to the show, man. Really blew me away. It's always.
He was in favor of that, hey?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Go listen to the Andrew Bacevich, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. I'm not doubting you. I mean, and there's things he said in the past that made me go, ooh.
No, and he says, said it like he was Iron Man commercial or something. America and her interest.
Iron Man commercial is the perfect paradigm to think of how people like to talk about foreign policy. And then we'll do this, and then we'll do that. And it's like this scene in All Quiet on the Western Front where the soldier goes back to visit his hometown in Germany, and there's these high school teachers who are all excited, standing over a map of the battlefield and saying this and this is going to happen, and they don't know crap, and they have no understanding of how the fighting goes. I mean, it's surprising that Bacevich would be in favor of a conflict policy in that part of the world.
America and her interests.
Well, peace is our interest.
Yeah, thank you. I can't get this out of and you know, there. Yeah, but I you know the answer. It's even Mark. I was ripping the crap out of him because he's yeah. But you know when you got a guy saying that we should be able to, we got to go defenders and preemptive strike of he's saying bad stuff. You know, and Kim Jong grandson doing his we're gonna ash you kind of crap. I mean, what credibility do you give that? Or, I mean, if you say it, it's like he wants war reparations or something or be rebuilt. Kabama so I can get some government money.
Well, it's I mean, there's so many different levels of false claims here. I mean, it's the same with the Middle East. It's very hard to sort that out because you've got a lot of folks pushing information that is just knowingly false.
Okay, the last few seconds, man. What's the biggie we got to look forward to 100 day of the next thing of Trump might do some good at the battle of the second Supreme Court nominee of shut down the government of tax of health care or something? What's on your radar?
I guess we have, you know, I guess the most important thing we have to look forward to is Trump's pretty face in the front page of the newspapers.
And his next tweet. Hell, you can't even trust that it's him tweeting anyway. You know, I just... Oh, man, it's more, I don't get invested in this stuff because, and I don't care because we're out trying to be independent by not being dependent on these guys and just entertain. James Bovard, jimbovard.com. There we go. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks. That was a lot of fun. You know, part of the fun is going on with you is that I find out what I think.
Right.
I mean,
you're warmonger.
Well, it was just you know there are a number of topics that we talked about that I haven't really focused that much on. Like, yeah, well, this, and I'm thinking like, you know, people hearing that would think this, so I better get my ass back and clarify. Okay, no, I didn't mean that. I meant this. So.
I'm just having fun with you, but I just yeah, it's that you know, Potomac water thing. You know, you're too close. The that's one thing Keith was saying. You know, what was it? I remember it was a few days ago, he said something to you off air. He goes, so many counties, I don't know, half a dozen,
right.
14
yep,
counties
yep.
around Washington is just a
yep.
booming, you know? And they're doing all their mansions. And it doesn't make me feel any better. I'm not feeling whoever was in charge before is still in charge. They just different flavor of whatever and spin of, it's just crap. I'm not paying. The more attention that I pay, I mean, I know I'm talk show host and national whatever the hell, but I'm going, it gives it way too much credibility. I am just, no, this is not where the change is going to come. Oh, it's the Pirates Without Borders thing. Pirates Without Borders, real quick, what that is the promotion of decentralization. You know, no matter what it is, in transportation, communication, education, you know, energy, food, water, whatever, where all these categories, and you earn your bones, you know, like, yeah, I got my own solar, so I get my little energy thing. You know, you got different color schemes and different logos and skulls and T-shirts and stuff like Against All Flags and Belay the State and, just a lot of fun stuff that we're having fun with this. But, you know, we're just finishing the store. I was hoping to launch by now, but we'll get to it. You know, I don't want to push it. But the main thing is this is kind of a Levolution thing. It's just a public opinion. It's just I don't know. We're first letter of Mark is yet to be published. We're working. We have it done, but we're going to put it out. And it's Captain Mark, MARQUE, as in Mark and Reprisal. And he has his okay. Trinity side chick, Reprisal. Okay, so it's Mark, first letter of Mark. Well, what we find out is the pirate lore and so on. They were very democratic. You know, that if you got a bunch of pirates and they vote you ain't captain anymore, you ain't captain because they just kill you. Okay, so it was, and then Black Sails were watching that Showtime series to the end, and it's about the Pirate Republic and out of Nassau from 1705 to 15, and got a lot of the parlance in there and having fun with the pirate code, and you set your own code and we don't aggress and but we'll defend, you know, that kind of crap. So we're just having fun with this, and you know, black flags matter, damn it.
Okay, well, that sounds like a fun project.
Well, it's just to promote decentralized worldwide of quit worrying about these people. You get your grow your own tomato plant and get a solar panel and, you know, filter your water, something. I mean, just get off of the healthcare everything, because that's where I think it's going anyway. It is going to, this is the next one, it's going to implode again, and they'll pull some rabbit out of their butt, but I don't know what. I don't know how. What are you going to do? You know, print more money? I mean, and then you got, you know, competing currencies and crypto and other countries. Something wicked this way comes, James. I'm putting it out there now. I'm going, yeah, here it comes. This next one is not going to be, in fact, close family members, and they're not giving details off air, but they are planning on the crash. My children and so their business opportunities that they're investing in, and different companies that they're doing and setting up, and jobs that they're going, yeah, it's going to happen again, and we're going to make bank. And I'm like, at least you're thinking, right? We'll see how that works out. But they've got a lot of potential. They've been listening to somebody. Dad might have rubbed off a little bit. I'm going, you so smart. But the people that aren't preparing, they're going to be screwed, man. This is going to go bad. In my opinion.
Yep. That one surprised me. So.
We'll be asking Venezuela for a loan.
Well, at least we got something to look forward to.
Hey, we're not as much debt. I mean, they're not in as much debt as we are. So,
well,
cheap land in Venezuela.
We'll see. But that was a great story about the dead bodies at the airport. I mean, I didn't even see that one in communist Romania when I was there.
Yeah, no, he was like, because they got there, and they already wanted to turn around and leave. And they just said, this is, so they were like, you know, not hiding out as much as they should have. But they were like, yeah, we need to get out of here. And they had to be there at least 3 days or something before they could get a flight out. And, this was their security at the airport. All of the bellhops or whatever, at night, they would take the carts, you know, they take your luggage and everything, and they put them in front of the doors. That was their security.
Wow.
There you go. And only the, you know, police and thugs had guns. You know, everybody else is just, you know, victim. Oh, today I go out, I mean, not today, tomorrow, there's Language of Liberty, Glenn Kripe's crew, and some of the guys, they, over the years, you know, they have interns and they do Arizona Project. They bring in a half a dozen or a dozen of these guys. I think they got 8 or 9 that are coming over. A couple of attorneys and entrepreneurs and students and all this stuff from 23 to 32, like 8 people from Ukraine, Russia, and Poland are coming tomorrow to go shooting. There we go. Oh, we're going to go shoot.
Oh,
you can
great.
Do that? So we're going to go out and, you know, kill some rocks and stuff. And they're just, they go back. I'm like, you know, well, you can do that? Is that a big deal? I'm going, ask this girl right here from Kiev.
That's great.
You think you should have been able to know how the AK worked? I mean, would you have voted, you know, 2 thumbs up for that one? Huh?
Wow. That's good.
So America behind every blade of grass. Well, hey, thanks for coming on, man. It's good to catch up with you. And see, I'd like to just talk to you off air, you know, sometime soon here. But
sure.
I'm glad you came on. It's always good to see you writing and getting attention, man.
Well, trying to. Hey, thanks for having me on. It's always fun to shoot the bull with you. And it's always fun to have you call out my moderation.
Right. Well, and I know you're not. I mean, you always got really good stuff to write. But I'm just... You're forced to write about stuff. I just don't.
I'm not forced to write about it, but, you know, the story in World War I, I love to write about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. That's one thing. I'm interested in that. Would you be willing to do a couple of hours and walk us through World War I?
Oh, God. I don't know that much about it. I mean, I'm not that, no. It wouldn't work because, you know, after 1,000 words, I'm kind of like, yeah, I heard something about that.
I got to get to my next hour. James, it's good to catch up with you, man.
Hey, thanks, Ernie. Good luck.
All right, bye.